Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network. And, you know, I am so wager excited to talk to all of my listeners because there's a gentleman that we are now starting to have on our show and have on our platform by the name of Steve Waltar. And, you know, for those of you that are loyal listeners, I probably have brought up Steve Waltar many times when I've talked to people about different things that maybe if you're making a decision as a caregiver and it's a legal issue, I will always go back to all the education that I've had in my future for the last 15 years of starting Answers for Elders, because he has been a wealth not only of information for me, but so many families that I have sent to him here in Washington State. And we are so blessed to have him now as part of our specialist team. And I would like to introduce everyone to Mr. Steven Waltar, who is an estate planning attorney, family man, amazing pillar in our Pacific Northwest community. Steve, welcome to Answers for Elders. I'm so glad you're part of our team.
Wow, Susanna, that's a nice welcome. I better live up to that. Glad to meet everyone virtually, either, you know, via sound or a picture here. This is fun. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I am too, because how many times do I talk to a family and maybe they're trying to help mom and dad, and very quickly into the conversation, I learned that mom and dad don't have their legal paperwork in order. There's a lot of things that go into, and I think if one thing that a parent could do for a family member, you know, we don't know if we're ever going to need care. We don't know if we're ever going to, you know, once we pass away, what's going to happen to our assets? How are we going to have influence when we can't have influence for ourselves? And I think that's one of the things that you do so well for families, to help those wishes become, you know, reality for those that are, you know, aging, and not necessarily aging. They could be in their 40s and they should have an estate plan, now we're 30s or even 20s. And so what I have found from you so often is when working with families, Steve, is there's families always that have these gotcha moments. You know, it's like, wow, mom doesn't have this document. Wow, I didn't realize that it wasn't planned out. And so a lot of times families are left to just second guessing. Steve, you know, obviously this talk today is going to all be about planning. And so I would love to talk to you a little bit about the whole estate planning process, what it is, and the different forms of it.
Yeah, you know, just thinking, picking up on some of your words, you actually can affect people after you're gone. It's either a blessing or a curse. And I think most people don't want it to be a curse. And failure to plan or plan properly means you're going to really, everyone's going to be bummed and maybe even mad at you. So, you know, I think estate planning is really about choice. Right? It's choosing things, protecting yourself during your lifetime. You know, if you're incapacitated, and last I checked, we all die. So it's having, you know, maybe you want to protect the kids from lawsuits and divorces. So good estate planning means you're protecting your assets. Proper estate planning probably means keeping out of court while you're alive. Traditional estate planning, you know, may cover final expenses and trying to, you know, dodge or lower estate taxes or things like that. And there's modern estate planning, there's sophisticated planning, there's estate tax planning, and then legacy planning that involves your life experience and things like that. So it's a blend of a lot of things.
Yeah. And I certainly had my own experience, Steve, because all of my life, I heard my father tell me, I want to be cremated when I die. Right. Well, when he died, he didn't have any of that in writing. He didn't have anything in planning. And my stepmother decided, no, she wanted to bury him. So my father is now buried because that's what my stepmother wanted. That was not what he wanted. And I had one sibling that just went ballistic. And I just said, you know what? It's her decision. There's nothing we can do about it. And he's gone. And no, he didn't get his wish. But whose fault is that? It was dad's fault. And I think that's one of the things that just, stands out to me. Are our wishes after we pass, or even if we're not able to speak for ourselves, are we going to be honored the way we want to be? And I think that's the key of everything.
Yeah, I know of another case where the son was estranged, and when his dad died, he had all the money and all the control, and he did a really expensive burial for the dad. It offended all of his siblings. It was not dad's wishes. So yeah, I don't think we did a disposition of remains, not 24 years ago, not when I started my firm, but we do that now. So you can have a legal document saying exactly what you want.
So, Steve, obviously there's different types of things that you do in estate planning. How would you define estate planning?
Yeah, I like this definition. It's not perfect, but it's one I've been using for really 25 years. It says, I want to be in control of my estate as long as I'm able. If I become unable to manage my estate, I want to be the one who designates the person to manage my estate for me without court intervention. Following my death, I want things to be as easy on my loved ones as possible. I want my estate to pass to the people and organizations that I want, when I want and how I want, a little bit of control. I want a smooth administration of my estate. And finally, I want there to be an absolute minimum of conflict, delays, court costs, taxes, and though I love you, Steve, attorney fees.
Exactly. And when you think about that piece alone, how many times do I speak to families that they're all on different pages? Everybody heard something different from mom or dad, so they don't necessarily know the right way to act on their behalf. And it causes dissension in the family. It causes conflict, as well as here, mom and dad may be in a situation where, they might have dementia or Alzheimer's. They might be in a situation where something happens. They're in an accident. We never know. And so obviously having that that paperwork in order is basically everything as far as making sure that that paperwork will advocate for you. And that's, I think, the important part of it.
Well, I think that gets into where do you keep it? My clients get originals. I have a good bit of the will. We have it all digital. And
That's
sometimes I tell
amazing.
people to protect the digital. I get an authorization, so I know if I can talk to the powers of attorney or the healthcare agency, you want it accessible, right?
So, question for you. Can you, we talked about how people have made mistakes, but what is your classic example of poor planning?
So this was a case where the wife had already endured, her husband died, and there was an intestate probate. He didn't have a will, right? And so it got to her, but it was kind of inefficient. It cost her about 12 grand. So she decides that she is going to do a will. And I don't know where she went, if she went to Office Depot. I mean, you used to be able to buy them there. Now you download it on the internet. So she did a will giving everything equally to her three kids. But she took a $400,000 brokerage account. And she added her oldest son to that because, he was smart. He worked at Microsoft, whatever. Well, the son was going to a Seahawk game one day and he got in a car accident. And guess what? It was his fault. And they got a judgment against him for $100,000. And what did he own? Mom's $400,000 account. She added him to the account and created joint tenancy. I'll do a whole segment on joint tenancy, but that meant that she lost $100,000 because she owned something with her son. Now, she shouldn't have done a gift. She shouldn't have owned it with him. But then what do you suppose happened when she died? Got the rest of that 300,000. Did the will control it?
No,
It
I
did
didn't think
not.
so. No, it would be the son.
So
It depends on it.
total mess up of an estate plan because she kind of tried to do it herself to avoid probate. She was so worried that she chose a non-probate asset and lost control.
Steve, why do you think, side question, why do you think so many seniors primarily, instead of doing the proper documentation, they just add their son or daughter to a bank account? I've seen it a million times and I cringe every time I hear it by what I've learned from you.
That's a good question. And it's not a fee averse thing. I don't think they're averse to seeing an attorney. Maybe, but I think it's the simplicity. They think, oh, so and so is in their favor. They want to make it easy. In fact, they may even want that child to get a little something extra. But of course, it's better to make it payable on death to the kid rather than the kid co-owns it, because now you've invited all of their creditors into your life. I'm not exact. I just think something about the simplicity and maybe a misunderstanding.
Exactly. And I think that's part of it. And you know, whenever I say something to a family, they just look at me like I'm crazy. And it's like, you have no idea. And it can happen the other way. Dad could get into an accident, car accident, and the son's on the bank account. And let's say the dad gets sued. Guess what happens? Isn't that true? That's a story you shared with me once. I think
Well,
that I
it's
remember.
what's available is just that account.
Yeah.
So if dad gets in a problem and he loses his money, it was already his money. The problem is when
Right.
someone that didn't generate the
True.
money is added to the account, but
Got
they
it.
now create liability to pull it away from
Okay.
a true owner.
Yeah. And that's a powerful
Or
thing.
they add someone to the title of their car or their house, and then you don't get a step up
Oh,
in basis. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's just not good.
yeah. So when I die, my son will get it because he's on the title. Well, yeah, and all the debt would go to son too. So obviously, those are all issues that estate planning can help protect. Why is obviously, you know, and when I said why is it beneficial, there's a lot of reasons besides liability, isn't there?
Yeah, what are the benefits? I mean, in the definition, it's kind of quick, but to keep out of court while I'm alive, it's disability protection. I mean, studies, we're living longer, but not always better. And
Absolutely.
even spouses can't make legal choices for their spouse if they're in a coma or need surgery. I mean, doctors and nurses try to be nice, but they don't, you don't have legal authority unless you have powers of attorney. So that's the first thing is proper disability planning. And that's probably even more critical for a single because they wouldn't even know who to go look to do it.
Well, that makes total sense. And obviously, in that. So, Steve, before we stop, I want to make sure and let everyone know you are licensed to practice estate planning all throughout the state of Washington. And for those that are in the state of Washington, how do they reach you?
Yeah, so you can go to my website or email, I mean, it's Waltar, WALTAR.com. You can see if we're doing webinars or download a form. Email us at info, info, at WALTAR.com or call us at 425-455-6788. 425-455-6788.
And if someone is outside the state of Washington, how do they find a good estate planning attorney?
Well, I'm a member of the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys, and we have attorneys in, I think it's 48 or 49 states. So, you can go to their website and look it up, or, if you have some, if you like us, I guess we could give you a referral. But there's really qualified people throughout the US. And it's nice to kind of know people are vetted. They have to do tons of education and stay current and things like that.
So anyway, Steve and I, we're going to come back for another segment and we're going to talk about estate planning options. What happens if you fail to plan? What happens if, you know, how you select your beneficiaries, et cetera. And Steve and I will be right back right after this.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.